The third Sunday after Pentecost. The epistle is taken from the first letter of St. Peter. Beloved, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he might exalt you in the time of visitation. Cast all your anxiety upon him, because he cares for you. Be sober and watchful, for your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, goes about seeking someone to devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same suffering befalls your brethren over all the world. But the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory in Christ Jesus, will himself, after we suffered a little while, perfect, strengthen, and establish us. To him is the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Please stand for the gospel. At that time, the publicans and sinners were drawing near to him to listen to him, and the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." But when he spoke to them this parable, saying, "What man of you having 100 sheep and losing one of them does not leave 99 in the desert and go after that which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it upon his shoulders, rejoicing. And on coming home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, because I have found my sheep that was lost.' I say to you that even so, there will be joy in heaven over one sinner who repents more than over 99 just who have no need of repentance. Or what woman having 10 drachmas, if she loses one drachma, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the drachma that I have lost.' Even so, I say to you, there will be joy among the angels of heaven over one sinner who repents." Thus are the words of the Holy Gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. There is something in our life, in our entire life, that is always pulling us down. And it is always there. Every moment of our existence here in this world, it is always affecting us. Sometimes it is just minor. We don't have to worry too much about it. It might be there in the back of our minds. But other times, it is a great danger. And it could cost us our life. And of course, what I'm talking about is gravity. Right? It's always pulling on us. And it's always there. Every day, every moment we're awake, we have to account for it. Most times, it's not too important. We're used to it as we walk down the street. But when we trip, then gravity takes over. And we can injure ourselves. When we get older, we have to be more careful. In other situations, we do have to be careful. We're up on a ladder. Maybe it's a rickety ladder. Tall. Maybe if we're on a roof. And then it starts raining. It's even more dangerous for out somewhere and we're along a drop-off. We have to be careful. Gravity is always there. And whether we realize it or not, we're always in the back of our mind at least thinking about it. Now, this is not a homily on physics. The devil is like gravity. He's always there. And most of our lives, it's just a very minor thing. He's always there tempting us. He's always looking for an opportunity to make us fall. And as we walk around our life, maybe it's very minor. It's like a little fly. We're used to having these little temptations. Occasionally we trip. And occasionally the devil might be able to get us to trip up. Other times in our life, we realize that we are in a precarious situation, like being up on a ladder or up on a roof, and that it becomes very dangerous. And then we finish what we need to do, and then we get to safety. This is how the devil works. St. Peter gives us the warning. Be sober and vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, goes around like a roaring lion, seeking souls to devour. Now, there are some general principles that the devil uses in this world when he's tempting us, when he's attacking us. The first is that he always tries, first of all, to make us think that he doesn't exist, or that if he does exist, he doesn't really affect things too much. He's there, and he's gone away. He doesn't really affect us. That's what he tries to do. That's wrong. When we look in the scriptures, we find that absolutely wrong. This scripture passage, St. Paul also says, brethren, we do not fight against flesh and blood, but what? Against the principalities and powers of darkness. Those are fallen angels. Principalities and powers are types of angels. And of darkness means they're demons. He says, we don't fight against the world around us, flesh and blood. That's not the real battle. The real battle is against the devils. The devil is real, and he does affect us, every one of us, every day. Just like gravity. And it might just be minor things. But do not fool yourself to think that he never has much influence in a person's life. Now, once he fails at that, making us think that he doesn't really exist or he doesn't really do much, he tries to go in the other direction, make us realize, make us think that he is all-powerful, that he is behind everything, that every temptation that you experience is from him, and that there's nothing you can do. He's going to get you in one way or the other. That's not correct either. We know St. Michael is greater than him, because he's the one who throws him out of heaven. We know Our Lady is greater than him. We know the saints, many of the angels. Just our prayers. We know the examples from the saints. The priest in the confessional is more powerful than him. He can move a person from the kingdom of darkness, that is in mortal sin, to the kingdom of Christ, that is to restore him. Many things are more powerful than him. God and his church and his grace are greater than him, greater than the devil. And all the devils. You know, of course I'm using the singular, but I mean all of them. He is neither unworking, we can ignore him, or he is all powerful. He's somewhere in between. Which is why I like the example of gravity. It's always there, and we always, whether we realize it or not, have to account for it through our day. And that's the same with the devil. He's always there. You know, when we go, if we go to a stadium, we see 60,000 people. We see those 60,000 people, and they announce the attendance. But we see them as just a group. Angels and demons aren't like that. They know every single person. Everyone. Everyone in the world. They know that person. They know their life. They know what tempts them. They know where you failed and where your strength is. Every person through your whole life. They also can see. They see where we sin. They see what tempts us. They can also see the gray matter up here. They know the memories, most of the memories, not all of them. And they can see the imagination. They can also see the emotions. So the devil can see a memory, and he can stir it up. He can bring it up. He sees the imagination, and he can put something in the imagination. Now remember, not every sinful temptation comes from him, and not everything that is bad that's in your imagination comes from him. Remember, St. Paul says we struggle against the world, the flesh, and the devil. The devil's only one third, so to speak, of anything we're tempted by. We tempt ourselves. Our body does. We do. We can stir up our own imagination. If we like the sin, our hearts become attached to sin, so we want to think about that sin again. We can do it. Don't blame the devil for everything. The world can do it. You're watching a movie, and then, that's how they get you. They show something impure, and you think it's a good movie, and then the world can tempt us also. But then the devil can also do it. Put it in our imagination. He can bring up a memory, which is why it's important to remain, to keep custody of the eyes, to not look at these things, so that once they're in there, he can bring them up. This is how he works. And he does this, why? For one reason and one reason only. He wants every single one of us in hell. No other reason. He wants me in hell. He wants you in hell. Period. This is why he's working. He just has no joy, just wants to just see everyone suffer. And he has no mercy. You know, if you ever get angry at someone, you might kind of lose your temper, get angry at them, and then you cool down, and then you kind of leave them alone. You're like, oh, I kind of overdid it there. I made my point, now I'm going to leave them alone. Devil's not like that. No mercy, no end. This is a principle of him. He will keep attacking, keep tempting, keep going. He will not stop. The only way it can stop is when Christ says no. Everything that happens, happens with the permission of our Lord. So every temptation from the devil comes with the permission, not the approval, but the permission of God. So the fact that the devil can tempt us, that he can put something in my imagination, that he can stir up a past memory, or he can stir up my emotions, it's permitted by God. It's permitted. But he will only let him go so far. Why? So that we can then be, we can have the victory. So it says here in the epistle, right? He himself, after we have suffered a little while, that is, we've struggled with this, a little while, and that little while means our entire life, will perfect, strengthen, and establish us. That is, in heaven, the devil won't be able to tempt us anymore. We will then be established in grace, and he will protect us from all eternity, from any temptation there. But until that time, God wants us to struggle. He wants us to choose him. He wants us to say no to temptation. He wants us to join him in his victory over sin and the devil. This is why he permits it, to try us, right? As gold is tried in the fire, so each one of us is tried. It's our choice. We can say yes to God. That's what he wants. This is why he lets the devil do this. And that when he does this, God will then give us the graces to be able to resist. He will help make us holier. This is why he permits it, so that we can become holier. Here it says again earlier on, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he might exalt you in a time of visitation. That is, lift you up in the time of visitation, the end of the world. For he cares for you. Resist the devil, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same suffering befalls. Oh, here it is, sorry. But the grace of God, who's called us in the eternal glory of Jesus Christ, will himself, after we suffered a little, establish us. It's the grace. He gives us grace to resist. This is what God wants. So God can use the evil intentions of the devil to make us holy. And then that holiness then will last for all eternity for us. Now, as I said, he can store memories, put something in our imagination. He can also affect our emotions. Remember, anything in the body, but not the soul. So our will, that is our will to say, to choose good and avoid evil, he can't force us in that. He can only tempt us with these lower faculties. Tempt you with the memory of this past sin. Oh, wasn't it great? Oh, this sin will be great. He can tempt us that way. He can't affect the intellect. That is, that very high, I talked about it last week a little bit, that internal conversation that we always have. He can't really affect that too much. It's a little bit higher than that. He can't do that. He can only affect us on the biological level, in a sense. Those things we share in common with the animals. So, dogs have emotions. Cats don't have emotions, though, but dogs definitely do. And so, a dog can be happy, a dog can be angry, a dog can be sad. So are we. And the devil can affect us there. Now, he works like a fireman. The fireman goes around looking for a fire, except the devil doesn't try to put it out. He adds gasoline to the fire. This is a common way in which he works. He you know, they see us, they see our emotions, they see when we get upset, if, say, we get angry or something, he will oftentimes, not all the time, remember, not everything is from him, he'll oftentimes go in and try to make it worse. He can directly stir up that emotion of anger, or he can bring up past memories. Oh, you know, you're mad at this person. Oh, remember when they did this? Remember when they did this? Remember when they did this? Try to stir it up. And then he can play the two people off each other, because then he could do that to the other person. And the other person's like, what? How could you say that? And then they can play us off each other. He can do the same with any emotion. A little sad and down, he'll be there to help you out a little bit. He can bring you down further, reminding you of other times when people rejected you and nobody loves you. These kind of things. If you're feeling, you know, you have a temptation against impurity, he can come in and help you out with that, you know, drag you down with that. This is the way he works. Not every temptation is from him, and not every time, but he can do this, and he does do this. St. Peter reminds us, like a roaring lion, think of a starving lion, dangerous, hungry, and will attack. Let's not fool ourselves. Now, he also works by trying to divide the church, trying to divide us in general, trying to divide things. He wants to destroy anything good from God. So he wants to take right now, he's really attacking the family. So he wants to, and I don't mean, you know, on a society level, but on an individual level. You know, we want to keep this very concrete. On an individual level, he will try to divide families. Maybe an individual husband and wife and their children divided from the rest of the family. Or if he gets into the family, he can try to divide the family itself. Husband against wife, children against parents. We'll always try to do that. Divide and conquer is what the goal is. The church in general, he will always do that. Here in our church, he will always do that. Now, this is where I say, don't read anything into this. I'm not talking about anything in particular. I've been here 10 years, and it happens all the time. There's things that happen, and people get upset with each other, and we always have to strive for mercy and forgiveness. Humility is how we conquer this attack from the devil when he tries to divide us. You know, even in the church, even in the rectory, you know, he wants to try to, he'd love to see the priests here divided. This would be a very good way in which he can then, you know, be able to attack the parish better. In all these type of things, we have to have humility, 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 in which we can apologize, we give the other person the benefit of the doubt, and we try to always keep together. And, you know, I've been here 10 years, and I've often talked about humility. Anyone who's gone to confession, I'm always telling you, hopefully you could all recite it together, kiss your scapular every day and ask Our Lady for humility. Humility is the foundation of holiness. There is no holiness without humility. And so this is how St. Peter begins, right? Humble yourself. We have to be humble. This is the greatest virtue against the devil, in my opinion. Why? Because the devil falls by pride. And so humility is our greatest defense against him. So, in today's epistle, St. Peter gives us a little warning. The devil's always there. As good an analogy as gravity. We always have to account for that. Most of the day, we don't really have to worry about it. It's there, we know it, we go through our day without it affecting us very much. Same with the devil. We know he's there. We know he's tempting us. For most of the day, it doesn't matter. We can just swat him away like a little fly. Occasionally, though, if we trip, we find ourselves in a situation that is truly dangerous, we have to be careful, be sober and vigilant, and not fall into the trap. Remember, all the saints, God, much greater than the devil, Our Lady,
confession. He's not all powerful. We can overcome him, and God wants us to struggle. He wants us to resist. He wants us to say no to the devil and sin, and yes to God. Why? So that we can become holy, and we can become holier, so that at the end of our life, after this little bit of time, after we've suffered a little while, God will be then be able to take us to heaven, where we will be established without temptation, perfect for all eternity. So during our time here, remember, be wary of the devil, but resist him with the faith and the grace of Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.